Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And great pleasure. Good afternoon. Welcome in. We've reached the middle of the week, and we have a lot to do today, and we want you to stick around throughout the program. Some great guests, plenty of time for your phone calls, an update on the caller, Feinbaum caller bracket. It's not busted yet, but there have been some new developments since we were with you yesterday. So let's get going with some headlines as well. And Buzz Williams, very emotional. In the aftermath of the game last night, still fuming about being snubbed by the NCAA selection committee.
The process is obviously flawed, and it is apparent that there is way more included that is unseen and unknown in the selection of the 36 at-large teams than what the public is made aware of. Allowing a personal bias to impact the process should not be allowed. Our players and staff earned a right to play in the greatest tournament in the world. And it disgusts me in a way that I can't articulate that the system and the adults in it prohibited that from happening. Because several in our program will never have that opportunity again.
Very poignant and emotional Buzz Williams, raising some very serious questions about the NCAA selection process, and he is right. Let's continue with more phone calls here. How about this? Florida has holes to fill on both sides and seeks a quick return to prominence under Billy Napier. SEC East, it's got a few holes, according to Kirby Smart, talking to the media earlier today. South Carolina's NIL deal is on path toward suspension. There's some issues there. And remember, there is not a universal NIL bill. Every state has their own. And if they don't, then there is one that they subscribe by, but this is not a perfect science. Our guest list is pretty perfect. Matt Baker, part of the original Baker Boys, joining us in a couple of moments. John Feinstein, one of the most respected names in sports writing lore, will join us. Matt Stinchcomb, he's just Matt Stinchcomb. He'll join us from Pro Day. And Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director at Arkansas, and the athletic director of the year. And you can understand why he is that when you consider some of the hires that he has made and how successful they have been. And the Feinbaum bracket, alive and well. And some updates to pass along. We have winners. Bama Nick has survived Louisiana Dan. I mean, how embarrassing can you be, Louisiana Dan, if you lose to Bama Nick, who is the lowest seeded person on the board here, the only true 15 seed other than Pat from Georgia. We have Daryl knocking off Jimmy and Jerome knocking off Chris. So we have an I-Man Bama Nick contest, Daryl and Jerome. Can Bama lose again to Georgia? I'm betting on it. I mean, Bama Nick, does he have any chance against Daryl? I don't think. Bama Nix against I-Man, excuse me. No. Then we have a Daryl Jerome. So Jerome could lose to Daryl and make it two in a row for the Dogs over the Tide. We'll update you a little bit more. The voting is where do you vote? Okay, so Charles versus Cheerleader is currently online. Larry in Missouri and Handsome Joe. By the way, I saw Handsome Joe trailing that match earlier, but that could have changed. You have Jeff and Cat Daddy. Jeff is currently behind Cat Daddy. I predict a comeback and Squirrel a no contest over Homer. And we will continue. We're all shook up today. Anyway, let's get to some phone calls at 855-242-7285. And we begin with John in Louisville. Hey, John. John, you there? Just some reason. Are you hearing John? I'm not hearing John.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a new caller.
glad to hear.
Great show yesterday, and it really started off well with the Brutus, Judas, I'm not Judas, you're Brutus exchange with Jim. That was a comedy classic.
That really was. That was unbelievable.
I think you had Ides of March in your brain at the time.
I did.
But speaking of Jim, I agree with our consigliere, also known as in-house counsel Augie, that I found Jim cheerful and chipper as well, if not humble. And it's kind of nice because
like
he really
enjoys
the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, it's nice to see him enjoy the show because it means a lot to him. And my hat's off to the creator, the creative genius of Fan Bracket.
Well, I think you're not looking at the person who's behind it. The gentleman in the other room came up with this one.
It's great, and
got,
I love the good
Mark
nature
Kubiak, Jamari, and Danny Bramlett are the geniuses of that.
Great smack talk from Pat, from Matt. Although with Matt, I think we need the mercy rule. He's going to hurt himself if he does any more smack talking.
He is going to hurt himself. You're absolutely right.
And I'm thankful. I got the first round bye. But I've got Legend in the second round.
Well, hold on. John, you're up against Red Dog, aren't you?
That's what I mean. It's a bye because you eviscerated him yesterday, and then Legend
came by and kicked him right down.
John,
if Red Dog wins that, this show's in a lot of trouble.
I'm in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, we are. There's nothing rigged about this contest, but we will not let you lose, okay?
and I told my daughter, I've got Legend, who we both love, in the second round. She said, he's going to shank you bad.
That's funny.
And I said, well, I'll buy him a black hat, and maybe he'll send that friend with the wheelbarrow over to pick me up and take me to the nurse's office.
Well, so, but, hey, by the way, I just looked down, and Red Dog is chomping at the bits here. We'll get to him in a minute.
You hurt him so bad, he wasn't even barking at the end of that phone call.
No.
Trust me. Paul, I've got my my final eight, and I don't know if you've got a final eight to share with, but mine are, I'm going to go east-west, south-midwest. I've got Baylor and Kentucky out of the east. I've got Gonzaga and Texas Tech out of the west. Out of the south, I've got Arizona and Tennessee, and then out of the Midwest, Kansas and Wisconsin. And then the final four are Kentucky and Gonzaga and Arizona and Kansas, and I've got Gonzaga against Arizona.
Excellent, John. Thank you very much. The artist formerly known as Red Dog is up next.
You know, I thought I was a very nice man until he had to go there, Paul. I mean, what is he on, the soap and the rope club with Legend? I mean,
Red Dog, you may be a very nice man. You're just not a very interesting man.
Paul, you just don't love me anymore, Paul. You're just so hard on me. We used to be.
No, Red Dog, we never used to be anything.
We won the national championship.
You were somebody new to the show. I gave you a chance. You failed.
We were oh, whatever. We ever since we won the national championship, our man even took up for me yesterday.
Red Dog, if you would allow me, just one. I found you uninteresting long before Georgia won a national championship.
Because, Paul, your ESPN contract depends on 95% of your callers, which is Alabama fans.
Oh, really? And where did you learn that from?
Where did you get your start?
Red Dog, this is an international company that's not interested in only one state supporting a program. We are seen in every state, so we care about everyone, not just one.
But you got your start with Birmingham and Harvey.
No, actually, I got my start at the University of Tennessee, Red Dog. But who's counting?
You did. But where did ESPN seek you out when you had a local radio show?
Well, first of all, it wasn't local when they sought me out.
It was Birmingham, right?
Well, it was actually national at the time. It was on satellite radio.
Okay.
Red Dog, do me a favor. Here's a quarter. Call your mom. Tell her to come pick you up. And you need to do some more work before your next phone call. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. We're expected to join Matt Baker in just a few minutes, talking about so many things at the University of Florida, especially Billy Napier opening up camp. Matt, great to have you on. Good afternoon. And how are things down there not only is there a new football coach, there's going to be a new basketball coach as well in a couple of weeks or days. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on. You know, it's never a dull moment in this state, and particularly at the University of Florida. And obviously that's the case right now with the basketball coach search going on in a way that I think a lot of Gators fans were excited about, just not quite the way they drew it up. And obviously a lot of buzz and enthusiasm around Billy Napier's first spring practice and the first kind of little glimpse we've had of who he is and what he looks like on the field.
Before I get to Napier, and I do want to get to him, just in terms of the Mike White situation, it caught a lot of people by surprise, although I described this the other day, being in Tampa, the fans coming out of the stadium after the A&M loss wanted him out. I know that he wouldn't have been fired, but what is the search look like right now, as best you can tell?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I don't know how big the percentage was exactly, but there was certainly a vocal percentage of the Florida fan base that wanted him out. There's no question about it. And I understand why, right? You never want to be the guy who replaces the legend. You want to be the guy who replaces the guy who replaces the legend. And Mike White obviously could not live up to the standards of Billy Donovan. I don't know that any coach Florida is going to get is going to be able to do so. And it was a weird situation where he was good, but not great. too good to fire, but not good enough to where you think that they're going to compete for championships in the SEC and beyond. And that just left Florida in this weird limbo situation. And Mike, you know, him going to Georgia, obviously, I think it's a good move for him because it allows him to start his clock over. I think there's a chance for him to do quite well there at Georgia. And Florida gets a chance to bring in somebody new. You know, Scott Drew, obviously, at Baylor would be a home run if that has the potential to happen. I don't know that it does. I don't know if there's, like, Brad Underwood. I don't know if it's kind of the Murray State coach or something along those lines that they kind of work through these things here in the next couple of days or weeks, depending on what happens in the NCAA tourney.
Talking to Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times, covers the Gators. Let's talk about Billy Napier on the practice field now. Expectations pretty good. I mean, he clearly has won the offseason, which is not the season you want to win as a Gator coach. What is your sense of not only Napier, but his very large and expanding staff, and what does it look like heading to the practice field?
Well, Paul, I think it's a good thing for Napier to win the offseason because I don't have particularly high expectations for the Gators on the field this season. I think they lose too much in terms of, you know, losing your top couple of running backs, three of your top pass catchers, including the tight end, and just not returning a super high amount of talent. Florida's still got players, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they're close to competing at the Georgia level. I mean, we saw that in Jacksonville last year. They open against Utah, which is going to be a really good team, you know, potential preseason top 10, something like that. So I think Napier's been smart in terms of what he's done. He hasn't pumped up this season the way like Willie Taggart did in his first year going into Florida State, where he's calling it not a rebuild, but a realignment. Napier hasn't done that. So I think he's been smart to kind of temper expectations a little bit. And then all the while building the infrastructure and, you know, starting to get some recruits and transfers in who could help in the long haul, because I don't think this is going to be a great Gators team in 2022.
I remember being down there. This was early in the season. The excitement level for Anthony Richards was about as high as any I'd remembered really since Tim Tebow's first year. Naturally, mm-hmm. It cooled off and the season spun out of control. But what is the sense about Anthony Richards right now and the rest of the quarterback room?
Yeah, so Richardson obviously was banged up last year. He had the hamstring injury that he suffered here in Tampa against USF, and then had a knee injury late as well that needed surgery. He's healthy now. No brace on him at practice yesterday. I thought he looked pretty good. He didn't seem limited to me, although the Gators are still kind of being cautious with him, as you'd expect. Because, look, he has sky-high potential. We only saw it, by and large, in flashes last year. But when you look at the way some of the plays he made against USF and some of the plays he made later in the season as well, this is a guy who can be probably the best quarterback Florida's had since Tim Tebow, because Kyle Trask obviously had a great career as well. But he has potential to be a kind of transformational player here in this era for the Gators, assuming he stays healthy and assuming he figures everything out in the way that I don't think he quite did under Dan Mullen for one reason or another. So as I'm looking at the Gators and what I saw in practice yesterday, if I'm looking for something to really hang my hat on and be positive about Florida in 22, it's the fact that Anthony Richardson is there and looked healthy and impressed Billy Napier as well.
In terms of the overall makeup of the team, you alluded to the schedule. Utah is an extremely difficult opener. Kentucky shortly after the season commences. There's always they got South Florida third week at Tennessee. That's a problematic beginning, only in that if the Utah game goes the wrong way, Kentucky, which is at home, I guess there's an advantage to that. And then at Tennessee, if this team is out of sorts, it could be a very tough beginning when you also factor in that LSU, another home game, and then Georgia, and then A&M. Things could really spin out of control, or you could make a case that a lot of the tough games are at home, especially Utah, Kentucky, Missouri, LSU, games that you could be able to win. I mean, I know I've given you the either-or, Matt, but what do you think?
I'm more pessimistic on Florida in 22 right now. I just am. I don't think they have a lot of the high-end talent that they need. Utah is going to be a very tough physical team. They always are. And Napier, to his credit, he's put a lot of value in the trenches. I mean, they've got two offensive line coaches and putting a premium there, as they should. But Utah's going to be really good. I'm not optimistic about Florida winning that one. Kentucky has stability that the Gators don't have. Tennessee, you know, I'm still not sold on Heupel, but obviously they improved over the course of the season. You go on and on. I could see it being a rough first year for Billy Napier and kind of the bloom coming off the rose very early. I'm not saying he's going to be a failure at Florida. No, I'm absolutely not. I think he's building things the right way, and the infrastructure he's putting in, all of it makes sense. I just think in 22, I don't see 10 wins on the schedule in 22. Let's put it that way.
No, what's realistic in your estimation?
I haven't gone through and done the whole this or that game, but 7 wins off the top of my head is probably about right. And you know, that's not good enough at the University of Florida. I'm not saying that it is, but you just have to be realistic about what he inherited. And he inherited a situation where the schedule is challenging, and he inherited a situation where the old guy's not there. Dan Mullen's not there because he didn't recruit enough high end talent to hang with LSU consistently, which is why you lost to them regularly. And Georgia, which is why that rivalry went the way that it did. And Texas A&M, who, you know, Jimbo's recruiting at an elite, elite level right now. So, I think the situation he inherited calls for patience in year one.
Matt, it's always a pleasure. You be well. Take care of yourself, and let's connect very soon. Matt Baker joining us from the Tampa Bay Times, covers the Gators. We are off and running here on a Wednesday afternoon. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back here Wednesday afternoon. Billy in Philly is up next. Hey, Billy.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
I'm calling about the basketball tournament and the Big East and the SEC. I'm interested in your opinions about how the so-called Big East, it's not big at all, really, will do. They have about the same number of teams in the top 4 seeds. They have about the same number. I think we Big East has one fewer team than the SEC in the tournament. I live 10 miles from Villanova, so I've had a lot of Jay Wright in my life. And it seems these schools keep surprising people, and they do it because they play a different kind of basketball. It's much more disciplined, I think, and less physical and athletic than the SEC. And I think we saw it play out last year, really, when Baylor beat Gonzaga, another Catholic school. In the Big East, there's a bunch of Catholic schools that just like to play basketball. It's really an underdog conference if there ever was one. But they seem to keep surviving. And I'm just interested in your thoughts because I think they play a little bit different style of basketball.
Yeah, I think that is correct, Billy. And I think that this is the moment where you've got to just throw the hype out that you've heard all year. The SEC acquitted itself quite well in important non-league games. Tennessee beat Arizona. Kentucky beat Kansas badly at Kansas, and Alabama beat Gonzaga. And it's hard to find 3 more impressive wins, but they also have some dog losses. And you just don't know. As many have explained before me, the NCAA tournament is about matchups. And you can get the wrong matchup. And, you know, as you described, you get a Big Ten bottom feeder against a Big East middle to upper division. And it may not even be close. And I think you're going to start seeing that tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's very tricky. I tend to think that the SEC style is going to prevail. I watched Baylor just demolish Villanova this year. And that worries me that this Eastern style – is in trouble.
There are at least 3 teams in the SEC that you can argue, you can make a legitimate case for the Final Four, and That's hard to do in any other league. Billy, always good to hear you. Thank you so very much. Tom is in Texas. So hello, Tom. You're on the air.
Yeah, Paul, this might be an apples to oranges comparison, but how would you compare the situation next year between Jimbo Fisher and Buzz Williams going into next season as far as pressure goes?
Well, I think there is pressure on Jimbo Fisher because, you know, he's dealing with an expectation situation where, you know, he's already been to the New Year's Six Bowl. You know, he barely missed the playoffs. This year was a bad year in some respects, although he beat Nick Saban and gave A&M its biggest cheer in 10 years. Where Buzz Williams, he still hasn't gotten to the tournament yet, and that's what it's all about. He's being paid a lot of money, and I sympathize with what he said. I'd like to see more proof, and the committee has an agenda when, you know, you can find very, very few people in college athletics who could find anything nefarious on that men's basketball committee other than the fact that they may have made a bad decision on a couple of seating issues and they chose against Texas A&M. But in basketball, you have to win and you have to get to the tournament. Look at Frank Martin. He got fired yesterday at South Carolina and he went to the Final Four, but that's the only thing he did. And, you know, having good record, missing the NIT doesn't cut it. Making the NIT doesn't cut it. You know, getting to the NCAA basketball tournament is what it's all about.
Well, the reason I'm a little concerned, I called in after the Auburn win excited because I'm his cousin, Buzz's cousin. And when he was at Virginia Tech and took the A&M job, of course, I've always been concerned. I was concerned when he left Marquette to Virginia Tech to get in that conference. So that's why I've called. I was a little surprised. I was watching your program. I was sitting there playing guitar, and your program come on. I looked up, and there's Brent or Buzz. And, it surprised me a little bit. But,
Tom, if you – and I want to ask you about the guitar in a minute, but at Marquette, he really had it going there. He had two straight Sweet 16s and an Elite Eight appearance. An Elite Eight is one game away from the Final Four. At Virginia Tech, he really didn't do much in the tournament. His last year, he upset somebody along the way to the round of 16. And at A&M, he's 16-4, 8-10, and then this year, the 24-12. But he went 500 in the league, but he lost too many games early on, and especially in down the stretch that cost him. Not before he got on that winning streak. So it is a body of work, and right now, other than a lot of tears at A&M this year at the end of the season, he's had three shots and he's missed the tournament.
Well, yeah, I understand that. The last time I got together with him, I was curious about him leaving Marquette because he did well there, but the last year was a disappointment. I don't know if he's for, but I wasn't comfortable.
You're right. He did not go to the tournament his last year at Marquette. You're correct.
But, you know, I just wasn't comfortable asking him why he left Marquette. Anyway, if we're in A&M is a place that, in a lot of places, they pay a lot of money and the expectations are high, although Marquette has a lot more storied.
Well, the problem he has, though, I don't think he has any problems right now, but ultimately, Ross Bjork did not hire him. And you never want to be at a place working for an AD who did not hire you. They have an investment in you. And hey, thanks for the call very, very much. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Joe in New York. Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, listen, once again, I love your show, and really, I love the callers that you get into your show. I think they provide some, you know, great feedback and opinions. But I've got one for you. I spoke to you the other day about the Florida basketball search. Just want people to know. Big game in Gainesville tonight, right? The Ione Gales in the NIT versus Florida Gators.
Wow.
What are the odds that the athletic director has a call with a Hall of Fame coach who's right in his backyard today about him possibly taking the job, the man by the name of Rick Pitino, or someone from his coaching tree, because the past has proven that his coaching tree wins, a.k.a. Billy Donovan. What do you think, Paul?
Joe, I think Rick Pitino is one of the best coaches in the last 50 years. Know Rick pretty well and have always had great respect for him. However, he left behind an absolute disaster in Louisville, and I don't think that is going to be possible. I know what he did last year. He got to the NCAA tournament. He's always going to win for you, but I just don't believe Scott Strickland would hire him. That's just my humble opinion.
What about his tree?
Well,
for example, a guy like Anthony Grant.
Well, Anthony Grant, to me, would be a legitimate hire down there for this reason. He was Billy Donovan's top assistant for many, many years at Florida. So he would be someone very familiar with that terrain.
Well, you know, you look at the history of the SEC and basketball in the SEC. You know, it's results-driven, as we all know. Let's win now. And, you know, Pitino's proven, goes to Iona, he wins now. So do the boosters and the fans have enough push or pull towards their AD to make a Rick Pitino-type hire, not specifically him, but that kind of hire happen?
Joe, I would be surprised because there are a lot better – there are plenty of jobs open, and I have not seen Rick Pitino come close to any of them other than Iona, a place that felt a little bit like home for him. Thank you for the call. Richard is in the ATL. You're on the air. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I called you this time last year about the HBO documentary called The Scheme, and we discussed Will Wade.
Right.
And finally, it caught up to Will Wade, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, ultimately, it was going to catch up to Will Wade. He ran a lot farther and faster away from the NCAA than I thought was possible. But I think the challenge now for Will Wade is ever coaching again. I don't think he will.
Well, they got the Miller's gone from Arizona, who was right. involved in that documentary, and now Will Wade's gone. So there is progress in the NCAA.
There is. The only question I have is how did Will Wade hang on so long in Baton Rouge? We are coming up against the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we welcome all of you back here. It's been a busy show, and let's continue with more phone calls. Legend is up next. Hello, Legend.
What's up, Paul Feinbaum? What's
Legend,
up, bro?
The man who even your critics said yesterday was one of your best calls ever.
Man, I appreciate that. There's a championship on the line, Paul. I'm going for it, baby. I'm going to tell you, if I win it, there's going to be a lot of ring kissing going on.
Well, right now, you're in good shape.
Hey, I don't know if Red Dog knows it or not, but he just got shaked. You went prison yard on him, Paul. I love it, baby. I love it.
And
go ahead.
I don't even know if he'll survive the first round matchup, but you'll be waiting for him if you are, if you do.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him now. You know, scientists say the universe is made up of neutrons, protons, and electrons. But after rednecks, I mean Red Dog's call today, it's clear they forgot morons, Paul. Woo! You big dummy. You just got shanked. Put the black hat on, Paul. I'm giving you a black hat.
Thank you're part you. Of the black I, hat I don't crew, think I've, buddy. I've never had a black hat before. How about that, Randy? I got a black hat now.
Yep, he's got the black hat. Give Randy a black hat, too.
Randy, you got black yourself hat. A black
me,
hat.
Me, Randy, you, Joe from Red Bay, and Jerome. Can you see that crew walking in the prison yard, baby? Woo! Red Dog, you just got shanked by Paul, baby. He just went prison yard on you, dumbass. Hey, I heard Jim yesterday calling me Judas.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me tell you something, dude. The Lord says we're all filthy rags. And let me tell you something. You're a nasty-ass mechanic child, buddy. That's what you are. That's what you are, brother, a nasty-ass mechanic child. You can come on here and do all this. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? Could you? Would you? Be my neighbor. Hell no, you're a psycho, dude. If anybody's got a legion in them, it's you. It's you, brother. You're a scribe. You're a Pharisee. You're a friggin' rock thrower. That's what you are. And let me tell you something, Matt. If you're going to come on here and challenge the legend, put some bass in your voice, dude. Get the pacifier out of your mouth. Oh, Paul, I love you, Paul. You're my brother, Paul. If you told me to jump off a bridge, I'd do it, Paul. Take the pacifier out of your mouth. Put some bass in your voice. Woo! East Coast, baby. Fine bomb, black hat. You shanked Red Dog today, baby. I'm proud of you. Legend out.
See? I knew I could do it. I knew I could get in the inner circle in the prison yard.
We've got black hats today, Paul.
All I did was shank a dumb dog. Let's check in with Trey, who is in Tuscaloosa.
Man, I don't know if I can follow that one, Paul. That was good right there. I agree with everything Legend said about Jim. And you know what, Paul? I want to ask you a question. Legend's call yesterday was throwing shanks. And it seemed like Matt's call was blowing wind up somebody's nostrils. Would that be a fair comparison there, Paul?
That would be fair.
Hey, Paul, I got a more serious note here. On average, how many people do you think listen to your show a day on average around the country?
It's a significant number.
All right, did you happen to listen to President Zelensky's call today to Congress?
Yes, I did. I heard most of it.
All right, well, you know what, Paul? You reach a lot of people, and I'm going to throw an idea out there at you. And of course, if you like it, y'all would have to kind of change things up a little bit, I'm sure. But, you know, Paul, you got to make up some T-shirt. Paul Feinbaum Callers March Madness, and you could put the bracket on the back, and you could find a way to sell them or whatever, and we could donate those proceeds to the children of Ukraine, Paul.
Yeah, that is a Trey, I'm glad you mentioned because every day I think a lot of us think about what can we do, and it feels like we have a limited amount of availability. But the government, I think, is involved. Hey, thank you. We'll talk to people about that. Jim is up next.
Yeah, that sorry leads, and he's a sorry person, Paul. I'm telling you. You know what I know. I'm excited because it makes me angry, really angry. I supported that punk. I got on here for 3 or 4 or 5 years telling you how good he was. Did I not?
You did.
I considered him a friend. He called me, I called him, and then all of a sudden he stabbed me right in the back for no damn reason. No reason whatsoever. He's a traitor, he's a punk, he's a no good lying, you know what? I'm telling you, that guy's no good. He's evil.
Get it out of your system. You can call him whatever.
Well,
you want.
I'm getting it out of my system. He is solid evil. He is evil as hell. You can't trust him. He's not a friend of anybody but his stinking self. He's all self-centered. He knows I'm better than him on the show. He's been jealous of me from the first day he got on here because Shane and I were talking about it. Shane talked me into being nice to him. I couldn't stand the guy from the first day, Paul. He's a stinking, no life, low life. low-bred, bottom feeder is what he is. And he's got nothing on me. I'm the one on page 54, you moron, and you're the moron. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Jim. That's what's called going prison yard. But Ron is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Ron.
It's been a while since I've talked to you, Paul.
Ron, it's great to hear from you. Hope you're making some improvement.
Well, I'm not. I just wanted to update you. I'm in an assisted living facility.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And I was in bed, and I got sick in my stomach, and I almost made it to the bathroom before I threw up 8 pints of blood.
Oh.
And they called an ambulance.
Ron, listen, and, you be careful, and we will all be thinking of you, and let's hopefully talk soon.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.